Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes. Two demoniacs were coming from the tombs and met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And Jesus said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea where they drowned. The swine herds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this Independence Day, it's an opportunity to pray for us to pray for the United States of America. I know not everyone here is an American, and so I'll try to hesitate to use "we" all the time, but this is a day in which true patriotism should come to the fore. The Lord wants us to love the places where we live. For those of us who were born here, to love the places that we were born, to love what's made the present possible, the sacrifices of the past. The church is constantly distinguishing between a healthy patriotism and an unhealthy nationalism, in which national pride becomes a thing that is used to lord over others, to divide from others, rather than something that's healthy, where we, in appreciating what we've been given, can appreciate what others likewise have been given. The fact that today happens in the middle of the World Cup is a good sign of that, because the World Cup, for the most part, is a healthy patriotism on display as countries with their colors, countries with their history, come and compete in a peaceful way. But to convene patriotically, to pray that God truly bless America, as the Irving Berlin song, 100 years old this year, croons, doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to what needs to be fixed. Every country is constantly in need of conversion, constantly in need of reform. And so as we pray for God to bless America, we recognize that we need to likewise pray that America receives that blessing of God. And at the same time that we can love this country, we can also recognize that the country bears some illnesses. Illnesses that, unless they're addressed, will kill the country. First illness is materialism. Everybody outside of the United States recognizes this. Pope Francis recognizes it very clearly. Many Americans don't, because we're so used to it. But that there are healthy work ethic here, a desire to produce wealth, which is a good thing, can become an addiction, and in some places it has. We see in today's gospel reading a little bit of that type of addiction. All the people were terrorized along the road by these two demoniacs. St. Mark's gospel tells that whenever anybody approached, they would fear for their life as these guys would come out from their tombs. And yet Jesus approaches, and they accost him, the demons within accost. In St. Mark's account, when Jesus asks the name, they say, "We are legion, for we are many." A legion had 600 troops in the Roman Empire, 600 demons or so. were possessing these two. And Jesus cast them out into the swine, and the swine are drowned. The whole town came out to meet Jesus. And then in one of the saddest lines in sacred scripture, rather than saying thank you, rather than saying so many here, Jesus, need exorcism, will you come? Rather than saying, Jesus, we've heard what you've done on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Can you do that here? We've got our mothers and our grandmothers and our grandparents suffering with all these various types of illnesses. They didn't do any of that. They begged him to leave their district. They didn't want him around. At a basic level, he was very bad for business. If he sent their swine into the Sea of Galilee, what then would happen to their sheep? What then would happen to their other animals? At a basic level, they cared more about their swine than they cared about these two demoniacs. Two people possessed by the devil, such that they were hurting themselves. And that's what materialism can do. Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium asked that haunting line, how is it that we can have all types of news and so many people focus on a loss of 2 points in the stock market when two people die of exposure? How can we care more for those 2 points than we can for those two persons? He's right. A lot of times we do. And it comes first by the worship of the ancient golden calf. We cannot serve both God and mammon. And there are many in our country who serve mammon first. And because they serve mammon first, they can't really serve God. The second illness that we have to face and pray for head on is the illness of a politics that is not geared toward the Lord. 1 week every 2 years, we have the prophet Amos. Today is our first time this week where we're able to focus on Amos. Amos, with Isaiah and Hosea, was an 8th century prophet in the north. So he had come from Judea in the south of the Holy Land, but he was sent to preach in Samaria, in Israel to the north, and around the sanctuary of Bethel. And he was booted because King Jeroboam II didn't want him there. His court prophet, Amaziah, didn't like Amos' message. So they excluded from politics. What was the message God had sent this sheep herder and dresser of sycamore trees to preach in the north? We have a little glimpse of it from the 5th chapter today, but the previous 4 chapters likewise emphasize it. We'll be able to hear him for the rest of the week. That ritual worship wasn't enough for God. God wanted that worship to overflow into our actions. And God was sending Amos because it wasn't. Now this period of the 40 years of Jeroboam had conquered Syria. He had conquered Ammon. It was a time of relative peace and prosperity. They didn't have to worry so much about enemies coming on in. And so they were living it up. Many of them were going to the temples to do the sacrifices. But their hearts were far from the Lord in daily life. So that's why Amos, for God, said, I spurn your feasts, I take no pleasure in your solemnity. I won't accept your cereal offerings or consider your stall-fed peace offerings. Away with your noisy songs. They must have been listening to Gather Us In and Sing a New Church into Being. I will not listen to the melodies of your harps. This is what God wants. But if you would offer me burnt offerings, and you can hear Martin Luther King, he said this on the Mall in 1968, then let justice surge like water, goodness like an unfailing stream. God wants from our liturgies to have justice and goodness flow continuously like that living water. And it wasn't happening. So Amos was saying, see good, not evil. This is the way that you will live. hate evil, love good, let justice prevail at the gate. Then it may be that the Lord will have pity on the remnant of Joseph. To really focus on justice, right relationship with God, right relationship with others. That if ritual doesn't lead into righteousness, then ritual likewise is off. Because how we pray is meant to impact how we live. And we can't compartmentalize. The third thing we see, and this is the point of real conversion, because as we talk about this, we can think about how everybody else in our culture needs to convert. It begins with us. Amos, as you'll see throughout his letter, is constantly distinguishing himself from the prophets. The prophets were a professional class. They went to school. But over the course of time, they became corrupt. They were there in the court. They were the ones being consulted. Not only did it go to their head, but it also corrupted their hearts. They started to get used to it. And so Amos is saying, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. In other words, I'm not one. And God came to call me because the professional prophets weren't doing their job. The professional prophets, those who were outwardly religious and had the vocation to be religious, were failing in their task. They were part of the problem. So that's why God called others to bring everybody to conversion. But there was huge resistance. Amaziah, the chief prophet of Jeroboam II, he was the one who went to Jeroboam and said, Israel is not big enough for Amos. Get him out of here. He's disrupting your whole kingdom because he's preaching conversion and he's saying that there's a problem to all this outward peace and outward prosperity, where inside there was no peace and people were getting poorer spiritually. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He didn't want to convert. And so that leads to our own situation. For the conversion of the United States to happen, for the healing of the illnesses that can eventually lead this robust, beautiful country to a death, it's going to begin with the prophetic class. God's sending us lots of different messages, but we have to become part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that begins with the way we live out our faith. There are many who want to exclude God from public life because they don't really get what God does through people. They don't see that it's good news rather than bad, that it's a liberation rather than a straitjacket. They just don't see it. Many of the religious, and we're not just talking about Catholic priests and religious women, we're talking about evangelical Protestants, we're talking about the mainline churches, we're talking about synagogues. In recent decades, we had become a little bit comfortable in our circumstances. We lost a prophetic role. So many parishes focus far more on money and maintenance than they do on mission and evangelization. It's a corruption that happened gradually over the course of time, where even inside the church, we became worldly. So that rather than leavening all of society, rather than being salt and light, we were opening up the windows as toxins were flowing through the stained glass. We need to confront that right off the bat and then just say, okay, what do we do now? We begin with prayer of reparation, prayer of love for our country, to turn to the Lord and ask for mercy. We remember what Abraham did with his 50 and 45 and 40 and 30 and 20 and 10. We know that the Lord is merciful, and we know how powerful it is when people turn to him like Abraham did with faith. And so that's what we do first. Similar to Moses with God up on Mount Sinai, begging for mercy for his people. We do pray for that mercy. But then second, we show the example of exactly what Amos is saying here. People whose ritual leads to a powerful righteousness, so that people are able to see the beauty in our actions. And when given a choice between a culture of life and a culture of death, a culture of love versus a culture of Darwinian survival of the fittest, it's an easy choice for the vast majority of people. But they have to see what this is about. And our culture has demons, just like the Gadarene district did. You know, we saw something that we should never forget with the Obama HHS decree of several years ago. President Clinton was pro-abortion, but he gave the churches plenty of space because he recognized that even though he disagreed with that position, the sheer amount of good that was done by religious believers was so much greater than that disagreement. What happened with the Obama HHS decree, which is the more radicalized, aggressive secularism, is churches are evil. We're evil people. And we're going to shut down Catholic Charities offices. We're going to shut down the work of various religious orders caring for the poor unless they accept and pay for the killing of innocent human beings. It's incredible. That was permitted to happen because we had lost the real face of who we are. Sure, the devil's promoting that and all the rest, and we can't deny that. But we gave plenty of ammo to load their gun, the hypocrisy of religious believers. And so what always has to happen in any of these situations is to show the true face of the church, the true face of believers, to let our deeds of love begin to do the speaking for us. And that's where we all come in, especially as young people moved by the Lord, to show this better way. Today, as we come with songs, we pray that they not be noisy. We pray that the Lord will hear the melodies we're singing on the harps of our hearts. We ask Him powerfully not to leave our district, but to stay in us, to stay in this country, so that God may continue to bless us, and the justice that He infleshes may surge like living water in an unfailing stream from us out to irrigate and fertilize this noble land. Praise be Jesus Christ.